Good day, everyone. This is KD English, also known as the Patriot Trainer, here today. This is going to actually be a scriptural teaching today. Normally, I'm doing in the podcast, I'm doing spiritual talks, but today I'm going to do an actual lesson plan for the podcast of lifeinvestigated.com. And you can obviously see it here on StreamYard, and probably we'll be able to see it on my Rumble channel on all things pertinent also. And in this presentation, since I'm doing a teaching, I have put my PowerPoint or Google document slide presentation up here for you to follow along with me in the teaching. I think it's very important. Now, since this is a teaching, my recommendation to you is to be stationary, to pull this, if you're going to listen to it on video, is to, you know, pull your phone up or your PC up and be stationary to where you can actually follow along with the slides. Now, obviously, if you listen to it on my Life Investigated podcast, the video portion or the slide presentation will be there. So the title of this teaching is, Evil Does. Can we fight it? And I'm referring to the times in which we live that are so evil. Evil is present in this world. Evil has been present in this world, certainly ever since man fell way back at the garden. Okay. Of course, we know the originator of evil, Satan, was already present, or maybe not specifically at creation of mankind, but he was certainly present there sometime within the near future, because he is the one who tempted Eve and then Adam. So we know he had a presence here at that time, and we know that from different scriptures also. So evil is and evil does. Can we fight it? Well, certainly we can. And what am I talking about? So I want to talk to you about current demonstrations of evil here in the year 2023. Now, just 2 days ago, or I guess maybe it was just yesterday, which has made national news in the United States of America, this Ohio father who lined up his three young sons and executed them with a rifle, presumably in his home. I was doing a little reading on this. Apparently had a daughter also that escaped and was screaming for help or trying to get help. And allegedly the mother apparently tried to do something because she had a gunshot wound in the hand, which frankly, that doesn't really add up so much to me, but I'll leave that up to the police to sort that out. But it's a terrible thing. It's a terrible, evil thing. When we think about the cold-blooded homicide of small children who just have no choice, essentially, but to stand there, they really probably didn't understand what it was going on, at least initially. Then we have, you know, the college slayings in Idaho back in, you know, last year, and mass shootings. Now, this statistic that you see on your slide, 375 mass shootings so far in 2023, as of 6/22/23, that's from one of these watchdog groups on gun violence. So I don't know that I necessarily agree with their statistics. However, I went ahead and used it because we have had many more than we should ever have in America. Of course, one's too many. Another source of evil this year so far, we've had 51 law enforcement line of duty deaths as of 6/22/23. Now, all of these ladies and gentlemen in law enforcement who have passed on, not all of them have necessarily been killed by gun violence or killed directly responding to a call. A few of them would have had work-related injuries and illnesses that they had succumbed to, and they could have caught, you know, different diseases out here in the public and Some were, you know, unfortunately hit by vehicles and while investigating traffic accidents, etc. But certainly have been a good portion of them have been gunned down by just evil. I mean, it's just, it's evil. And again, we are seeing, I believe, an increase in the type of evil. We've always had criminals, okay? We've always had people break the law. I mean, trust me, I know. I spent, you know, close to 16 years in sworn law enforcement, but I've dedicated my entire secular career within the criminal justice field. So I understand. Evil's not anything new, but we're seeing a new level of evil that we haven't seen, at least in modern history. Now, there's been some terrible crimes committed and atrocities against people all through the ages, but the level and the type of evil, and mostly the most it's directed and targeted evil that I see happening that maybe other generations haven't seen in the past. Of course, drug addiction is, you know, there's no community in America that's not affected by drug addiction and mental health issues. And none of the lawmakers, they want to talk a good game. None of the health professionals have an answer for it. That's because they're looking at the wrong reasons and they're trying to answer it from a human response, and we just can't answer this kind of evil that way. So we are in the midst of an evil generation. There is no doubt about it. Now, in 2011, I had a dream, and I wrote this down at 3 o'clock in the morning. I got up and I wrote this down in my journal, and for the life of me, I can't find my journal today. I was going to publish it again. I actually published this dream in a video on a podcast about 6 months ago, and to my surprise, and I think I put it on some social media too, it got taken down. But my podcast page for the podcast provider that I was providing for, it disappeared off of that also, which greatly upset me. And I sent a request into tech support that never bothered to respond to me. So, I'm no longer paying for that service. And now I can't find my journal it was a very specific dream. But in this dream, and I really wasn't asleep, it was one of those situations where you're really conscious of the things around you. I can remember that I recorded in my journal that I could always sleep with a fan on, that I could hear the sound of my fan. And I knew I was in my bed in my house. So, I wasn't entirely asleep. But in this dream, God was showing me that there was going to be this spirit of murder released that was a strong man, that was different from the spirit of murder that we have seen in modern history. Now, again, we have an account of the first murder in the Bible when one brother killed another brother. And we know there's been millions of murders and homicides since that time. But again, this one is more, this time, in this period, excuse me. I think I'm getting attacked right now. This type of spirit is more directed, and it's more radical than it's ever been, and it's stronger than it's ever been. And in this dream, it was this murderous spirit that was released was led by a very radical spirit, and it appeared to have some type of ancient roots to it, like an ancient deity where cultures worshipped it as a god. And it was taking on the form of a transgender, LGBTQ type, or from an organizational standpoint. just very blasphemous and very radical in this vision that I had. So that's kind of where I'm going with this is what do we do about the evil that we are experiencing in 2023? So if you listen to the news, you know your government doesn't have the answer for it. They want to blame it on guns. It's not the guns, because not all murders are committed by guns. To start with, gun is simply an instrument. The tool that's using the gun is the evil human being. That's just, frankly, pure evil. So what do we do, and how do we, I'm specifically speaking to Christians, because worldly people are just going to scoff and they're going to laugh at this and call me another, you know, just a right-wing idiot or whatever they call us. Doesn't really matter to me what they call me. The world's not going to understand this, and the Bible makes it very clear the world's not going to, they don't get Jesus. So, you know, they're not, when it comes to something this deep, they are certainly not going to be able to understand this. So how can we as Christians counter the current evil that we are experiencing? Well, one thing we must first consider is the evil that we are experiencing in this season. And I believe there has been a specific spirit of murder that's above, just, if you want to call it this way, the general spirit of murder. I believe it's this spirit that has been released, and it's obvious, it's manifested now. And when I had this vision, it wasn't like this. The time hadn't come yet. But as my wife told me the other day, we were listening to this news account, and she said, "Kevin, did you, that vision you had back in 2011, did you think you would see it, or did you think it would come to pass as specifically as that dream or vision said it would be?" I said, "Well, I did think it would come to pass. I really didn't think it would come to pass in my lifetime, but it's here." But is the cause of this in part a precursor to God's judgment that's coming in the tribulation time? Is it because we are in that birth pain delivery area to where the rapture is going to happen, and the tribulation period, which is such as a man has never seen before, the evil and the suffering and the millions and millions and millions of people that will die during the tribulation has never been experienced on this earth before. So is this a precursor of the judgment? Because that's what the tribulation is. It's a judgment. Is it a precursor? Are we seeing the product of what's to come? And quite frankly, it could be. It could very well be that we're experiencing some type of precursor judgment or selective judgment now. Certainly, America is not on the right track. And anyone, I believe, that has common decent sense and who has the mental capacity to sit and think and process things out, I don't see how they could say otherwise. So you just got to look at it this way. So let's look at it. Sorry, I had to get some children to quiet down for me. Hopefully that didn't come through in the video. But that's what you are. When you're a granddaddy, you spend as much time as you can with your grandchildren. And it's a great thing. So where do we battle this? We're not going to battle on the streets. We can lock people up, and criminals should be locked up, and their punishment should be befitting the crime. I don't think people should be locked up for a lifetime because, you know, they got caught with a minute amount of drugs on them or something. That, I don't agree with drug abuse, trust me, and drug use. But the punishment should really fit the crime, which it hasn't always in the legal system, quite frankly, or at least the administration of the legal system by men. This battle is in the spiritual realms, and we've got to learn to be spiritual, and we've got to learn how to fight in the spirit. Plus, as Christians, we've got to go into Satan's territory in order to preempt the attacks that are happening manifested in the natural on this earth. If we don't have a group of Christians that are willing to do this, there's one thing that's certain about it. This murdering spirit, as I saw it in my dream, was going to keep increasing. And the only way to take this thing's power away from it is to go into Satan's territory and start fighting in the spirit. Now, this is a lesson plan, so don't get ahead of the slide presentation, and you need to put some dedicated time, because it's not going to be a real short study, okay? I'm going to try to do it all in one video, but which will take me forever to upload, but that's okay. So we have to go into Satan's territory spiritually to preempt, to stop some of these attacks. However, Christians must fight the battle legally, going into the spiritual realms and authoritative realms as your office and calling allows you to go, and with the level and the understanding of the authority that God has given you, that you have a comprehensive understanding of. Because if we go in and try to do battle against spiritual entities, if we are not properly prepared, number one, we won't accomplish anything that we set out to do. So in other words, if you don't understand God's authority first, and secondly, if you don't understand the authority that was transferred to you by the sacrificial offering of Jesus Christ and by his resurrection, if you don't understand that transfer of power to you as a disciple of Christ, then you won't be able to do proper spiritual battle. So you have to get an understanding of authority. And you do have to get an understanding of rank and order. Now, before you start trying to go into this kind of warfare, I highly, highly, highly suggest that you prepare yourself through prayer and fasting, primarily, not only so you can see the power that is placed upon you, but so you can be prepared for the counter attack. There has never been a war fought in the natural where if you went in on the enemy's territory, they didn't try to counter attack to either destroy you or push you back out. So you can expect the same in the spiritual realms. So what are the battlegrounds? Well, they're going to be primarily to start with in the heavenlies, at least. In Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 14, behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God, the earth also with all that therein is. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one called up to the third heaven. This was the Apostle Paul writing when he was raptured. For those of you that don't believe there's ever been a rapture in the Bible or no such thing as a rapture, well, right here, the Apostle Paul was telling you that he was raptured away into the third heaven. So according to the word, there's more than one level of heaven. Now, if we make an assumption here based on the word, or make a determination based on the word, then we're going to say there's three. And obviously the highest level we would expect to be God's abode or his throne or his base of operation, however you'd want to look at it. Now, of course, Deuteronomy makes it clear that there's no one place that's big enough to hold God. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God in the earth. So all the heavens are his. This is how big Yahweh God is, that no one place can actually contain him. You need to understand that for your authority also. So we know there are three levels of heaven. So we're going to start to identify. Now we're going to go to Ephesians here in just a second. So where are the battlegrounds? So first we will assume again, the highest is God's throne. Now I'm making somewhat of an assumption here, but not entirely, because I'm led of the Holy Spirit and I teach according to what the Spirit is directing me to teach. However, this is an assumption and an opinion of mine. Some of these viewpoints in this teaching are going to be my opinions because I don't have a specific scripture that I can prove my opinion out, but I have scriptures that I can point to the direction of my opinion. And that's what we have to do. We have to discern the word out. We have to try it out. And we have to be spirit led. So I would not be taking my time. I would not have taken the time to prepare a PowerPoint nor a video and then do all the editing and processing and uploading that I do myself. I would not take my time if I had not had the unction of the Holy Spirit or the instruction to my spirit to do this, and I would not have written these words down if sitting here at my table, if the Holy Spirit hadn't instructed me what to write. Now, for those of you that don't know me, you'll just take that with a grain of salt. I'm sure some of you will. Now, for some of you that will hear this, that have followed the teachings that I've presented for over 26 years now, 26 years as a pastor, but been a teacher for over 32 years now, you know that I'm being honest and being serious when I say this is what Holy Spirit of God has revealed to my spirit man and my intellect and gave me instruction to do this teaching. So the second heaven is probably Satan's throne. Now we're going to identify these, so hold on with me. As one evangelist that used to come to my church say, stay with me now. The third heaven is the atmosphere of this earth, which, as the Bible states, that Satan is the god of this world. And that's what the Bible said. Of course, we know there was a battle, right? In ancient days, Satan came against God and it didn't work out too well for him. He got kicked out. Okay. This immediate heaven appears to be the immediate heaven. Our atmosphere appears to be, based on scripture, the base of operations for Satan's hordes or the demons. And I have some viewpoints on demons that some of you may not have, but I will do that study when I can get the time and God directs me it's time to do that study, particularly on demons. So let's look at NASA's information here on the layers of the atmosphere. And I'll probably pronounce some of these, but that's okay. I'm just a hillbilly country boy. I'm not a scientist. The troposphere starts at the Earth's surface and extends 8 to 14 kilometers high. That's 5 to 9 miles. This is part of the atmosphere is the most dense, and it's where almost all weather is in this part. So this is our atmosphere. This is what we live and breathe, what we look out and see up in the sky. This is where we, by means of encompassing the earth, this is where we are living at. The stratosphere starts just above the troposphere and extends 50 kilometers, 31 miles high. This is the ozone layer, which absorbs and scatters solar ultraviolet radiation in this layer. The mesosphere starts just above the stratosphere and extends 85 kilometers, 53 miles high. Meteors burn up in this layer. Thermosphere starts just above the mesosphere and extends 600 kilometers, 372 miles high. This is where the aurora and the satellites occur in this layer. The ionosphere is an abundant layer of electrons and ionized atoms and molecules that stretches from about 48 kilometers, 30 miles above the surface of the edge of the space at about 965 kilometers, that's 600 miles, overlapping into the mesosphere and the thermosphere. This dynamic region grows and shrinks based on solar conditions and divides further into the subregions D, E, and F based on the wavelength of the solar radiation that is absorbed. This ionosphere is a critical link in the chain of Sun-Earth interactions. This region is what makes radio communications possible. And then lastly, we have the exosphere. This is the upper limit of our atmosphere. It extends from the top of the thermosphere up to 10,000 kilometers or kilometers, 6,200 miles. So that's directly from NASA. All right, so let's go now. Now, keep all of that in mind because we are going to come back to it in this study. So now let's go and identify the battle. And in order to do that, we have to go back to the book of Ephesians chapter 6, which I seem to stay in Ephesians chapter 6 a lot with my teachings. This is a fundamental teaching for me, or a foundational scriptural basis on which I deliver quite a few teachings. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So this is indicating a struggle or a battle, a fight, the wrestling. My wife tells me I don't say wrestling right, wrestle. There again, I guess that's the hillbilly coming out in me. We don't fight against flesh and blood. So we know we're not fighting human being to human being, right? That's what the word's telling us. But against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So this battle of evil that I'm trying to give you instruction in how to battle this evil as a disciple of Christ. This is not a worldly battle. I know it's manifesting in the world. I know real people, real human beings are dying by this controlling demon of the spirit of murder. I get it. And all the other heartache and the suffering that we encounter and all the evil that we encounter walking through this life. I get it. It's real. But it's not flesh and blood. Everything begins in the spirit, and that's where evil is beginning at. And we must face that. So if we're going to ever counter evil, we've got to work on the same playing field as to where it's manifested. And we all suffer. And Jesus said we're going to suffer in this life. But he also promised us a blessing. He promised us prosperity. But most importantly, for those that believe in him, he promised us an eternal home with none of this garbage. So that's why we keep pressing on and pressing on and pressing on. We know there's something better. The Bible makes it very clear. We are just strangers in this world. We literally are just passing through, doing our duty. Doing our due diligence, but we're going to get to the next level of this one day. So let's examine the rank and order of Satan. Now listen, folks, Satan is not omnipotent. He's not omnipresent, but he himself, what appears to in his original form was an archangel, but rebelled against God and tried to be God and tried to take over God's throne. So, but he's not God. He has great power. I'm not going to lie. Satan has great power. Now, some Bible teachers will teach you that Satan has no power. He does have power. And the scriptures prove out that he has power. Now, I'm not saying this to glorify Satan, but I'm teaching you a tactical battle operation. And if I can't be honest about you with the enemy strength, then I'm lying to you, and you will die in this battle if you're not properly informed. So you need to understand this. When you go against this enemy, this entity, this is a powerful enemy. So let's look at the first rank and order as described in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 that we just read. Principalities. So keep in mind, the Bible, the King James Bible, was written primarily Hebrew in the Old Covenant, primarily Greek in the New. Both the Hebrew and the Greek languages are much more complex than our English language, okay? And they can have multiple meanings, and you have to look at the application, and you have to look back at the origins as best we possibly can. So when I'm trying to define out from the Greek meanings, and I'm not a Greek or a Hebrew scholar, but I have tools to use, and I've done this a long time. In the Greek, this word principality means the first person leader. So if I take the literal meaning of that in the Greek as first person leader, then I have to conclude we are talking about Satan as the principality. Now, here's an assumption that I'm making. Also, looking at some of the other trailing definitions of principalities in the Greek, I believe that this is a inner circle of leadership that Satan has around him. In other words, the closest counterparts that he has being equal to him, but yet he is top of it. And here again, making some assumption here, but not really, since the Holy Spirit dropped this into my spirit, because quite frankly, I'd never thought about this before until I started studying this one out. I suspect also a principality. There are other principalities that are close to Satan's realm, that are angelic beings that helped him lead that ancient rebellion against God and the throne of God. Now, I believe this order of entity, Satan, I believe his command center, if you will, is probably in the ionosphere. Why do I believe that? Because, that would be the sphere that would be closest to the furthest regions that we haven't seen into, which is where planet heaven is, no doubt somewhere in that furthest region out. Why do I believe that he would put his command center here? Well, he was cast out of the atmosphere of heaven. So whatever level of atmosphere that we identify, that I think heaven's a planet myself, whatever dimension we think heaven is in, he was cast out of that dimension. So I believe he probably tactically put his dimension as close to that, to God's dimension, as he could. Now, one of the reasons I believe that is because we know there was a time that Satan went back into the heavens, into the throne of God with the other sons of God. So it seems like there may be opportunity for Satan himself to come before God. And what he would come before God is to challenge him further. And friends, God's universe and God's creation, us, is the point of contention that Satan would challenge him for, because Satan is what is called a legalist. He will take God's own word and he will turn it around and try to take legal advantage of anything that we would call a loophole. He ain't been able to find that, okay? Because it's just not there. But that's where we see the word of God also says that he is the accuser of the brethren. So I believe when Satan would come into the court of God, that he doesn't, you know, a lot of Christians say, well, he's accusing me. Well, yeah, potentially. But I believe he's really making his accusation against God, that God's not holding true to his own commands and his own structure. I believe Satan even makes accusation against the archangels and the other angelic beings that God has for his disposal and actually uses and dispatches to the earth. And the Bible makes it clear on that. So that's not an assumption. So I don't believe it's just us that Satan accuses before God. I believe he accuses God and God, all of God's creation. And I believe from a tactical approach, the most logical place would be to put his command center as close to God's as he could legally do that. He can't set his command back up in the outermost or the planet heaven or the region of heaven. He's been kicked out of that. He's trespassed. He has no legal authority to be there in that realm to operate. Satan cannot operate in the realm of heaven. He has no legal authority to do that. He may be allowed to come and present, but he has no legal authority to be there to hinder heaven in any way. So the next one is powers, according to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Now, powers in the Greek represents legality or jurisdiction. Remember, I just told you, Satan is a legalist. In the natural, we can relate this to a position of a magistrate. And of course, the Greek defines that out too. That is one who has legal authority to impose on another. For example, a magistrate in the natural has the authority to issue a warrant. I believe this level of demonic power of angelic beings issues warrants of harassment. And in those warrants of harassment, I believe that they have the authority, the legal authority, because man had dominion of the earth and the atmosphere around us. But man gave God's dominion to Satan when man sinned. So this is where I'm talking about the legal use of authority. These powers or these judges and magistrates, they have legal authority in the rank and order and structure. Everything in life, my friends, everything has a rank, order, and structure. There is a process to everything that we know. So I believe this level of power, this level of entities that we have opposition against has the authority to give commands at the instruction of their leader, which is Satan. I believe it rolls downhill, right? I believe they have the authority to issue these writs of harassment to interfere with God's plan for mankind, to interfere with the jurisdiction that man has, and even to interfere. This level of authority actually has the legal authority to interfere with God's archangels, which I believe an archangel like Michael the archangel is on the same level of rank and order in God's kingdom as this entity of power. And here's the reason why I believe that. In Daniel chapter 10 and verse 13, But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the king, with the kings of Persia. So, and this was Gabriel responding to the prophet Daniel's prayer, which if you've never studied Daniel, you need to, because it will tell you a lot about the end days. So Daniel had prayed. And Gabriel, if we would go on and read that chapter, explained to Daniel when he did come and present God's answer to Daniel of his prayer. He said, well, I mean, your prayer was heard on the first day, big guy. But, you know, I encountered resistance in the heavenlies, the kingdom of Persia, which don't worry about that word Persia so much. Just understand that was a territory and people. So in other words, it was a spiritual territory with a power in it that had legal authority there that most likely had other authorities there in that same region with it. Okay. So Persia represents a region, a territory, and entities. Okay. That was probably in the thermosphere. That makes more sense to me. Again, it's a Kevin English assumption by what the Spirit is leading me to. I'm going somewhere with this. Like I said, stay with me. Stay with me. I'm trying to hurry through as quick as I possibly can, but yet get this out. So then thirdly, rulers. Now, it appears to me that the rulers are the demonic hordes that carry out the orders of the powers to harass and manifest on the earth and to possess human beings or animals. So this is where what we deal with specifically as disciples of Christ or human beings deal with it. They're not aware that if you're not saved and spirit-led and spirit-filled, you just think you're unlucky or something, or you're just whatever. I'm not sure what you think, but you have no spiritual sense about you whatsoever. Now, I believe these demons, when not walking the earth, I believe they live in the troposphere because that's the most immediate part of us. And this is where this level of demons will reside when they're not walking the earth. Now, we know this level of demons reside on the earth because when Jesus cast out demons, he instructed the disciples, when you cast demons out, because by the way, I can't teach in this lesson, I can't teach the power, but Jesus gave us legal jurisdiction. He gave us authority over demons, and he specifically told the disciples, which is us, if you're a true student of Jesus Christ, if you are a true student of the Bible, if you are truly spirit led, then and you are endeavoring to do God's will in his preeminence and going forward in the power that he has endued you with, then you are a true disciple. There is a difference between a Christian and a disciple. I don't have time to go into that one now. I will some other time. So this is the level, these rulers, I believe, of the demonic entities that have power. Their power is greatly reduced down now. But they do have power. They have power to possess human beings. They have power to possess animals. And Jesus said, when you cast a demon out of a person, what does it do? It walks about this earth seeking another home. And it needs a place to be. A demon's like everything. This ruler is like everything else when it's got to have a place to be. And Jesus said it walks about, and when it can't find nowhere to be, it comes back to where its original home was that it was cast out from. And if he finds that that person hadn't changed their life and cleaned their life up by the Spirit of the Holy Spirit living inside of them, it not only comes back, it brings seven more worse, powerful demons to reside there. That's one of my scriptures, that I can prove there is rank and order, and there are different levels of power in God and in Satan's kingdom also. Well, there are in God's kingdom also, but certainly in Satan's kingdom, I can prove the rank and order by that scripture. Now, this is where, for those of us that have cast demons out and do cast demons out, this is where we should be sending these demons back to, is back to the troposphere or wherever that center of operation is in the heavenlies. Because remember, what did Ephesians chapter 6 say? This is a heavenly battle. Now, these are the ones that we have authority over. I'll get in that here in the close in just a minute. This is where we should be sending them to when we cast them out. When we, if we do a deliverance service, if you want to call it that, and we command a demon out, well, it's got carte blanche to walk around and try to come back, which happens so many times, or enter somewhere else it finds. No, we need to take total authority and cast it back into the heavenlies where it come from. If any of you have ever been around me working in deliverance service or praying for someone's demon possessed, if you will notice the words Holy Spirit leads me, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth to come out of this person and go back into the heavenlies where you come from. Because it didn't come from that person. It didn't originate from that person, but it had to originate from somewhere. That's common sense. So we cast it back into the heaven, because that's a place of shame, most likely. That's why the demons don't want to go there. When Jesus cast the legions of demons out of the demoniac, they petitioned him to go into the hogs. They would rather go into the hogs and drown than they would to suffer the disgrace to go back into the troposphere or wherever that atmospheric place is that they are residing at and operating from. They would rather do that than go back and face rank and order for being a failure in their mission. And that's exactly what they would be adjudicated in, no doubt in my mind, by the powers or the magistrates. They would be, these demons would be adjudicated a failure. So we need to cast them back. If you're going to start casting demons out, cast them back into the heavenlies. Now, who battles who? Here's where we make our grave mistake, I believe, as Christians, as disciples. So the battle is got between God and Satan. With Satan battling God, God really don't have to battle. He's kind of already won. He has. So, but we see in the highest of the level, in the principalities, that principality, as I told you before, he apparently has the right to come back and accuse God, to make accusation. Apparently has the legal authority because man gave it to him, because God gave us the authority. So you got one level of battle in the heavenlies. I believe that is in the third heavenly when Satan comes and accuses the brethren. That's a battle between God and Satan. So listen, there's nothing, you don't have the authority to battle this principality per se. That one's God's. It's always been God's, and it will continue to be God's. Then we come down to the second level. So who did we read in the book of Deuteronomy that came and battled the powers or the magistrates, the legal jurisdiction there, when they imprisoned or blockaded, not necessarily imprisoned, but blockaded the messenger angel? Who do we see came? We seen the rank and order of an archangel. So it would appear to me that in this second level of heavenlies, or this second stage of battle against the evil entities, against evil. Remember, we're talking about battling evil. It would appear to me that this level of battle occurs archangels to these jurisdictional powers. Okay. That apparently is the one, because notice that when Gabriel told Daniel that Michael had to come help him, the warring angel, or the archangel that's known for as to be the warring angel, and of course he's not the only one. He has his whole regiments of warring angels, I'm quite certain. He petitioned, apparently Gabriel called upon Michael to come and assist him. Now notice that he didn't tell Daniel, you should have bound and cast out the demons that were holding me in this atmospheric realm, in this heavenly realm. He didn't tell Daniel that. He didn't call down to Daniel and say, hey, Daniel, I need you to send some more prayers up and get me loose from here. No, he went directly to the source and got the release that he needed through the force of Michael. And I think a lot of times that's where we get some things fouled up when it comes to spiritual warfare. So then on the third realm, what do you have? You have the disciples, that's us, the believers in Christ who have studied, who accept God's authority, who pray, who fast, who seek ways to serve God, and who seek ways to fight evil and are willing to follow God's command. If you are not willing to follow the Holy Spirit's command, then you are not a disciple. Now, you may be saved. You may be a Christian. But if you are not willing to follow the instructions of the commander, then you are not a disciple. This is where I use the word Christians, but this is where disciples make a mistake and try to battle on levels that they do not have the responsibility to battle in. And that's where when you try in the spirit, listen to me very carefully on this one, when you try to battle in the spirit in realms that you do not have the authority to battle in, then you will get your head beaten in, so to speak. That's when you go, I've heard people say this, well, I went into spiritual warfare and things got worse for me. And I went into the heavenlies and I battled the principalities. Well, that's your first wrong move, disciple. You're battling the principalities. That one isn't your fight. Oh, I went into the heavenlies. I went into the spirit and I battled the powers of darkness. That's not your battle. That's not your battle. Your battle is on this third level of the heavenlies, this atmospheric realm in which we live, in which these demonic entities manifest themselves in. They even show themselves to you sometimes. You hear them speak. You see them in shadow men. You see people possessed. You even see animals possessed, if you would really want to admit it. And you see the evil manifested. This is our realm. This is where we are dealing at. And this is where we have to understand proper jurisdiction and we have to understand proper authority. And in this realm, in this immediate atmospheric realm of this world, because of the blood of Jesus Christ and because he did a transfer of power to us, we are not only his heirs, but we are legal representatives afforded the legal right to use his name. This is where we fight at. And where is the evil hurting people and manifesting that? Where is it hurting you at? It's in this realm. These other two realms, you know there's activity, but you don't know what's going on there. You are not made to go into those realms. This is your realm. Keep your feet on the ground. Keep your spirit grounded. Keep it grounded on a solid base of the word and a solid authority of Jesus Christ. Now, when we understand our position and we understand our authority, then we can spiritually make a difference in this world. Even if it's judgment that God's allowing, Judgment will respond to authority at this current state of time anyway. So if God has stood back and he's pulled his hand back off of America because of our corporate sins, we kill our babies, right? The government does anything that it wants to now, just as a dictatorship, which a dictatorship in any country is not a legal authority that God recognizes. The only authority God recognizes is the theocracy of the kingdom of God. But he certainly is not going to put his blessings on a dictatorship. Now, he may use a dictator to accomplish his end goal, but he's not going to put his blessing on a dictatorship. So I don't believe that we are currently living under the full blessing of God because of our leadership and because of our corporate sin in America. We have told God, mind your own business. We've told God, get out of our homes, get out of our schools. We've even in some cases told God to get out of our churches. So as God draws his hand back, I don't believe we're going to have this great end time revival like many people say, but I believe if disciples of Christ will learn to battle in the appropriate battlefield under the appropriate authority, I believe we can turn some of this evil back for the time being anyway. I believe as we watch and wait and trying to be prepared for Jesus Christ, for that trumpet of God to sound and call us to meet him in the air, a supernatural event, again, that manifests in this atmosphere. That's why people can't understand it. I believe if we will battle correctly, we can turn at least a portion of this evil. We can control this murderous spirit and any of the other evil hordes that come along with it, like drug addiction, etc. We can help control that, and we can curb some of it and turn it back. We're not going to stop it all. That would be heaven. It's not going to all stop. But we can assert our responsibilities, and we can certainly demonstrate to our Heavenly Father that we are willing to follow him into battle, because after all, Christians, when you are raptured away from here, you're going into a seven-year preparation to come back with Jesus Christ as warring saints to make war against the false trinity that will be set up here on the earth. Think about it. But we can prove to God what warriors we are now. We can prove to God that we're willing to follow him and willing to fight, and that we are willing to do good in his name. And that is to curb evil. So quit looking for a secular program. Ain't gonna happen. Quit looking for another committee meeting to attend on shootings. Ain't gonna happen. Quit looking to implement a new law to control guns. Even if they got it done, it ain't gonna work. Just ain't gonna do it. So we need to do our part. And if we Christians would quit fighting, do what we're supposed to do, we can make a temporary difference anyway, at least a temporary difference that may, listen, you say, well, if it's only temporary, why? Because that temporary difference might save your child's life. It might save your child from being lined up in a line and executed. It might allow your child to live his or her life out in a natural sense. And we do still have the blessings of God, by the way, and still enjoy some of the blessings of God in their life. Would you not prefer that for your children and grandchildren? I do. That's why I'm willing to fight. Even though in the end, I know that judgment's coming, I'm still willing to fight for right now. Well, hopefully this teaching has helped you. Please share this with people. This took a lot of time to prepare. And I would appreciate if you would help me out by sharing it. And if you're a preacher or a teacher and you want to reteach it, by all means, feel free to do so. I would consider that an honor for you to teach something that I've taught you. and I believe this is a God teaching. I'll see you next time.